things of disaster. Let him in constancy follow the master.
All lies down before you and cradled in the love of Jesus, I'll find security.
Sensitive and open to the Holy Spirit and his teaching. Praise God. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus for our time, our fellowship together this morning. We thank you, Lord, for the seed of your word that you wish to place within our hearts. Lord, help us to hear, help us to understand, and above all, help us to live and walk this word that we hear for your glory and glory alone. For this we ask now in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Praise God. Well, praise the Lord. Welcome, everyone. It's a blessing today. And as you know, if there are problems at times in hearing the teaching, because we know that the mic sometimes breaks up, this goes out the word on our website, which is also being recorded. But today we have a title that we're going to talk about, and that is, are you still trusting in God's protection and provision? Are you still trusting in God's protection and provision? And that's what we're going to look at today. And I believe the Lord will challenge us, because we still need to check these areas where we at times get a little bit lazy, or we just feel like compromising, or there are times when we just feel it all gets a bit too much, this is all too hard to walk this walk. Well, God has provided through the Holy Spirit, who not only comes to teach us, but he also comes to empower us. And he is the one who's going to help us through our weakness to be able to run the last lap of this race that we find ourselves in, where it just seems that there's so little left within us to be able to make it to the end. But by God's will and mercy and grace, we will. Because God has called and chosen a remnant from the foundation of the world, that they will be overcome as those first fruits unto the Lord in these last days. So are you still trusting in God's protection and provision? Now, the Lord isn't going to stop challenging us to his faithfulness. Not only his faithfulness, but also his provisions, which include protection, providing for all our needs, being with us when we go out and when we come in, giving his angels charge over us. Indeed, if God doesn't preserve a remnant, then none will stand. So God's preservation over us is his divine work. And he knows that if he doesn't provide and preserve and keep, then none will stand. We will perish. We will be deceived, consumed by the evil one and by the spirit of this age. So God knows human nature. He knows us better than we know ourselves. And we will always in our flesh, always look for the easy route, the easy way out. And so on. We don't have to work at it. It seems to come as natural as breathing. But we know that God always takes us through a wilderness experience to continue to teach us to walk by faith and to trust him 101%. So are you still trusting in God's protection and provision? Let's turn to Psalm 27. We're also going to be looking much at Psalm 91 as well, which of course is so much about God's provisions and protection. But in Psalm 27, we'll look at verses 5 and 6 of 27, verses 5 and 6. For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret place of his tabernacle, he shall hide me. He shall set me high upon a rock. So there we have seen God's protection. And in verse 6, he also says, and now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me. Therefore I will offer sacrifices of joy in his tabernacle. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. Now, of course, the Word of God and the Psalms particularly are full of this, full of God's protection, provision, and so on. But we don't always believe it, and this is a lot of our trouble. But let's just remind ourselves what he's saying here. For he says, in the time of trouble, and we do go through times of trouble, times of trial, we are going to be tested. God is going to permit and allow us to go through those fiery furnaces, and in order to show that he hides me, protects me in his pavilion. So in those times of trouble and trial, whatever we're going through, there is a protection placed over us. And that protection is that God says to the powers of darkness and Satan, right, you can buffet my servant. You can have a degree of leeway, but you will not destroy them. And the reason they will not be destroyed is because of God's pavilion, his protection, which we of course know is the blood of the Lamb. And he says, in the secret place of his tabernacle. So God has a provision in his tabernacle, a pavilion of where it is secret for you, for your trials and what you will go through. It means that nobody else knows where this is. It means that the powers of darkness doesn't actually know what God is doing over your life, my life, as he's protecting and preserving you and I through trial, temptation, tests, those fiery furnaces and whatever it is. This is why the enemy doesn't know as much as he wants to let on and think that he does. He's a liar because he thinks he's God and he knows everything about you and he knows what God's doing and he knows how to destroy you. But the scriptures show us he doesn't. And because he doesn't, that's why he works in a devilish way. So everything that Satan is suggesting, particularly in your trials, he lies. Because the scripture tells us, in the secret place of his tabernacle, he shall hide me. He shall set me high upon a rock. This all speaks, indicates where Satan cannot get access to that. He cannot cross over the bloodline, the blood of the Lamb. So all these things he tries to do are lies right from the word go. They're deception. They're trying to trap us. But God has us so protected in his provision, his sealing over our lives, that it's hidden from the powers of darkness. That what he's doing in your life and my life is a hidden work which protects us. We know because we've just read it there. The secret place of his tabernacle. Who knows the tabernacle of God? We know that we have access into that holy presence through the veil that has been rent in two, but we don't know the secret places of the tabernacle. We don't know what is actually there. We only see in part through a misty mirror, as the Bible tells us. Well, if we only know that as redeemed by the blood of Jesus, certainly Satan doesn't know that, because he has been cast out of the first heaven. He has been cast out of God's presence. We know that. He was the anointed cherub, and he tried to exert himself and be like God, and he was cast out. So he certainly does not know the secret place of the tabernacle at all. He likes to let you know that he does, but he doesn't. Only God knows that. And that is where you are hid, in that secret place. Isn't that wonderful? And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me, it says in verse 6. So because of what he says there, he lifts me up. Even in the trial that I'm going through, I don't have to be all bowed down in condemnation, in fear, and all those things the enemy tries to put upon us. No, we can be lifted up and supported, so that people will say, how is it that he or she can stand upright through this trial? How can they still have a smile on their face? How is it that they came through that trial untarnished, not burnt, or whatever it would be? That's why. And now my head shall be lifted up above mine enemies all around me. Why the enemies? Because it's the enemy that's trying to put you down. It's the enemy that's trying to destroy you. And of course, he works in the most diverse ways. Therefore, I will offer sacrifices of joy in his tabernacle. And this is why we say it is so powerful, that when you go through your trials, count it all joy. Because so often that is putting the enemy to flight. It deals with those lies, those deceptions. Because you know as well as I do, when we go through these trials, the powers of darkness become so vocal in the mind that you can almost hear those audible voices, and they are all negative. They're all out to try and deceive you, to destroy you, to divert you, and so on. But he says here, we can lift our heads above this. Therefore, I offer the sacrifices of joy in his tabernacle. That's where you do it. You're in his tabernacle. That means his preservation. He has protection over you. I will sing. Yes, I will sing praises to the Lord, because that is what it produces. Our trials, with God protecting us, coming through, produces that sacrifice of praise and worship that is acceptable to God. So we also see in that verse that God is still working with our praise, our confession, this offering up to God. He's still working that within us. That's why I say very often, sometimes when we come to a meeting, we offer up sacrifices of praise. Sometimes we don't feel like praising the Lord. But that's how he works that in us, through our trials. So it is a true praise, a true worshipping of the Lord when we come together, as well as when we're going through these trials. Because it's that that puts the powers of darkness to flight. When we start to break through with this, we will see healing and deliverance flowing more in our midst, because it's so powerful. So here we see God's protection as we offer up those sacrifices of praise and joy and so on. Let's also turn to Psalm 91. Psalm 91, a psalm that we should often read and meditate upon, particularly if you're finding yourself battling, doubting. This is one of the greatest protections, provisions that's in the scriptures, as we say so often, you will never find in an insurance policy what is placed here in Psalm 91. Insurers would be bankrupt very quickly if they put what you see of God's provision in Psalm 91. How can we doubt when we read that? But let's glean from some scriptures from this. For example, in verse 3, here it says, "Surely he shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence." So every word is important. It says, "Surely he shall deliver you." In other words, it's not, "He shall deliver you." Yes, that should be enough, but he's stressing, God will do this. Don't doubt it. Surely he'll do this because that is his nature. That is his love. That is his provision over his people. So it is a stressing that he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler. Of course, that speaks of the enemy, Satan himself. And from the perilous pestilence. In other words, things that will happen, things that can happen in the world, pestilences, diseases, and all those sort of things that will happen. So here it says, "Surely he shall protect you. He will deliver you from the snare of the fowler." Now, the snare of the fowler means it's someone who traps you. It's the idea of trapping animals or caging a bird. That's the understanding of what it means here in Hebrew. The fowler, the one, somebody who tries to trap you, to snare you. Does that sound familiar of someone that we know? Why, of course, that is Satan's nature, is to snare one, to trap one, to deceive one. And here we have the confidence that God says, "Surely I will do that. I will protect you from that." Because when you're snared, you're trapped, it can hold you for a while. And if nobody ever comes to your aid, then eventually you will die. Which, of course, is what these poor animals, creatures do. They either bleed to death or they're starved to death or they're trapped in order then to be slaughtered or whatever it is. So there's the idea of this vicious thing. So he delivers us from these traps, these snares. We are told that his feathers cover us. He shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. So we're seeing some wonderful analogies here. Of course, we know what he's referring to with his feathers, his wings that will cover us. It's like the hen who looks after her chicks. She places her wings out as a covering, as a protection from the predators. So often we get these analogies, these understandings of how God preserves and protects us, exactly like what it says here. We take refuge under his wings, which means that sometimes you need to take refuge. You need to get into covering. The enemy is around. The predator is around. So cover. Get out of sight. Hide for a while. And sometimes the Lord might do that. Why, we know there are stories through history of Christians where they literally had to hide from the enemy. We know that there were many that during World War II were hiding the Jews from the Nazis. And of course they were taking a great risk themselves. So there are times in trials where there's literally a hiding away from the enemy. But we can also take that over to the spiritual, where sometimes we have to lay low. Why the enemy is very vocal. Why there are things that are going on. Sometimes the Lord may require you just to get in prayer and intercession. And don't get involved. Lay low. As you could be damaged. So we have to be very open to how the Holy Spirit leads and guides us each day, in trusting him for our protection and provision. This is why the Holy Spirit has come, not only in truth, but in power. And this is why it is so important, brothers and sisters, that we yield over in obedience to the Holy Spirit. We have to remember that the Spirit of truth, which we have received, has to witness that to the truth that lives within us. It's not witnessing to you or your logic, your mind, your thinking, your understanding. He comes to witness to the one who lives in you, who is Jesus. And the only way he does that is by you getting out of the way. Which means that yielding over, obedience, we so often get in the way, and that's why we don't get the witness. That's why we can still be subject to listening to the voice of the enemy, who comes as an angel of light sometimes, that throws us in confusion, that we sway. Because we're not hearing what the Holy Spirit's saying. And the reason we don't hear what he's saying is because we're not obeying him. We're not yielding over to him. He will not witness to us. He witnesses to the one who lives in us, Jesus. Because you cannot separate the workings of God through the Godhead. They are one, agree in one. This is why of his fullness we have received of him. And it's like when you yield over to him and obey him, then you hear the voice of God. It's like you see his fingerprint impressed. You then know it's him because he's witnessing, agreeing within your heart to the one who lives in there, whose name is Jesus. That is a principle you need to learn to walk by and allow the Holy Spirit to train you in this, to be sensitive. Then we will not sway so often or be so caught up with the world and what it's doing and what it's saying. We will be able to discern the times that we live in. We will be able to fully test the spirits and what they're saying. And does it, of course, line up with the principle of God's word? This is all about being protected, knowing God's provisions. We walk a very, very fine line, brothers and sisters. I think God, in his mercy, doesn't actually show us this because I think we would freak out how narrow, how fine this line is that we walk. Because if you do see it, you will just have to say, only God can get me to walk this. This is impossible in the natural. And indeed it is. For Jesus said, narrow is the way, few there be that find it. Broad is the way, and most go through that way. Because it's easy. It doesn't cost. And so, hear as we look here, he shall cover us with his feathers, and under his wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. And he says that you needn't be afraid when you walk at night, nor the arrows that fly by day, nor the pestilence that walks in darkness, and nor the destruction that lays waste at noonday. All very figurative language there, what we're understanding, we experience. So he not only protects us from those snares, those traps, he gives his feathers, those wings which we can take refuge under. There are times when we need to hide. And when those arrows fly about, they won't touch us, because we have the whole armour on. We're protected, we're preserved. And that protection is Christ in you, the hope of glory. The armour is really Christ in you and me. He's that armour from our heads to the soles of our feet. So when those arrows come, they won't touch us. When there's disease and sickness, it won't strike us down. God says, you will see the reward of the wicked. You will see what the enemy is trying to do in destroying, whether individually or corporately, this body. There is going to come times when we will see the wicked one, the evil one, put down as a result of what he's doing. And the reason God does that is because of God's glory. He attacks God's glory through the body of Christ. That's always how he works. To get at God, to get at his creation. What does it say in verse 10? No evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. So he keeps us from the evil one. That's what we pray in the Lord's Prayer. You are constantly protected by his angels. I think we forget that one sometimes, that everywhere we go, he gives his angels charge over us, who are fighting, who are paving the way, who are protecting us. But sometimes they can't work efficiently as they would want if we're not yielding over to the Lord. So it is a very tight rope walk that we walk, is it not? But we're protected constantly, 24/7, by these angels. Because he gives his angels charge over us, as it says in verse 11. Authority he gives us in prayer. Here it is. You shall tread upon the lion and cobra, the young lion and the serpent you shall trample under feet. That says an awful lot to me about the authority in the name of Jesus and the blood of Jesus that he gives us for prayer. That we put him to flight. That we take authority over the works of the enemy. And what it means, very often God shows me when we get into warfare and we intercede, I very often get a sense of pushing back the powers of darkness. You're not destroying them, but what you are doing is, it is a pushing back, which in many ways means it's a paving the way through for God's angels to push through the powers of darkness. Because remember that the Bible tells us clearly that Satan is still the god of this world until Jesus finally comes to imprison him, put him down. So until then, we have to pave ways through the powers of darkness. And God has given us authority to do that. Now, of course, the enemy doesn't like that, but that paving the way through, that pushing through, causes division. It causes a separation, which means that he loses power when we do that. And this is why we are finding ourselves praying, interceding, a lot of warfare, and we haven't got to give up on this, but we have to continue with this, not only for our own lives, for the church, but certain things we hear through the news, world events, because when the overcomers are taken, we then see for a season, for 7 years, when the tribulation and the great tribulation come, it is like all hell let loose. We hold this all back, brothers and sisters. Your very presence, your very set in the body as an overcomer, your very prayers, your warfare in the spirit keeps this at bay until eventually the church is raptured and taken away. That's how important this is. And you need the Holy Spirit to really show you this. Because very often, my experience is, and we all have different experiences because the Lord shows in different ways, but I just sense it's being pushed back, the blackness, the powers of darkness, while God's presence comes in this situation. And he always comes to preserve, to heal, to save a remnant. Ultimately, our warfare, our intercessions, and everything we do, the nature of it is redemptive. That the last Gentile will be saved before the Lord Jesus Christ returns. Because that's what the scriptures say. So our very warfare, our supplications, our intercessions are redemptive in nature. And it requires very often a warfare against the powers of darkness that tries to stop and hinder that redemptive work of God. Isn't it wonderful how the Lord has this so in control? And yet it seems from the flesh and from our standpoint of view, it looks as though we stand on the brink of disaster every day. And yet it's the very means in our weakness, in our helplessness, that he makes his strength perfect. And not only that, but powerful and a standard against the enemy and the powers of darkness. Don't try and figure out how God does this. We can't get our minds around it. But all we know that he asks of us is to believe him, to trust him, and obey him. And he still has to work that one in us. He's still working that. So God has provided all and more for the overcomers, else it cannot happen. We would cease to exist. Anything like a meeting or even this today, sharing the word of God, would cease to exist if God doesn't provide for the overcomers. This is why we can trust in his protection and his provisions. God sees everything in the heavens and the earth and under the earth. There's nothing that's hid from his eyes. He sees all the accumulations of needs, not wants, the needs. He provides for our needs. And yes, even God will bless above that as well. We know that he even gives us the desires of our heart, because he's a loving father, but he will first and foremost deal with you on what you need, your needs for this day. And of course he knows what we need, and he's getting us so that we can move above having to keep asking him, Lord, will you provide food today, or will you provide water, or will you provide clothing, or whatever it is. He's saying, move on from that. You know that I will. Look to other needs, greater needs. Start to look to the needs of others that you can intercede and pray for. Are you sensitive to your brother and sister, to their needs, that you could even help or provide and get in prayer for? Or are we still just consumed on what I want? There are needs in the body. And if you really want to be open to that, God will show you. And you'll find, Lord, forgive me. I was so blinded, I was so caught up in myself, that I couldn't see the needs of my brothers and sisters around me, as well as the needs that can be in the world. Know that we have the privilege of helping our brothers and sisters in India, but particularly the orphanage. In the natural, in the orphanage, there's humongous needs. And yet we find each month God meets their needs. They have food every day placed in front of them. But it doesn't stop there. They need clothing. They need shoes. They need toiletries. Winter's coming up. We're having to trust the Lord that God will provide a blanket for them. Yet we go to bed with our duvets and everything. We're so spoilt in the West. There are many needs if we're open and sensitive to help fulfill and meet those needs. But we're still very caught up in self. What I want and what I want to do. And God's still dealing with this one, with all of us in the assembly. Why is he dealing in such a way? Because God says, I protect and I provide. I do it to such an extent that you don't need to concern yourself about your needs. That's how big and generous I am. But God is still working this one. We get all our priorities wrong. It's still what I want. And God always meets us on what we need and the needs of our brothers and sisters. And I do thank and praise the Lord for what he is doing in the assembly. How we've got some very faithful saints who generously giving and helping where they see those needs are. So it's not all negative, but we're still work in progress. And there's still things that God has to work in our hearts, because he's changing these hearts of stone to hearts of flesh. And he still has to chisel away to remove those still those little hard areas that can manifest themselves in ways. That's why we have that wonderful analogy that we're that clay put on the potter's wheel, as he's moulding and working with that clay. Because if you look at the nature of clay, there's nothing much in it at all. It's a terrible colour. It's not the easiest thing to work with. I've done a little bit of pottery in the past. And it's quite a skillful job being a potter, because that clay, you know, has a nature of its own. But in a skillful hands, you watch how they work with that lump of greyish brown clay. And as that water is applied skillfully, you can have too much water or you can have not enough water. So there has to be the right amount of water that's put onto the clay. And then the potter has to apply the right sort of pressure in which to begin to mould and create this vase or this vessel or whatever it is. And then the wheel has to rotate in a certain speed. If you go too fast, the whole thing flies off. If you go too slow, the whole thing goes wonky and begins to collapse. So it's a skillful job. And of course, we know that we are subject to the Master's hand, the great potter himself, whose name is Jesus. Hallelujah. But he will provide our needs, and he will even give the desires of our heart. But never forget, as it says in verse 16, with long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. And God does that for one thing, for his glory. No one can or will boast in this. Everything that he's doing, both individually and corporately, is for his glory. And it is ultimately to show the world, to show the powers of darkness, that through his protection, his provision, because that's what we're talking about today, he will show his salvation. That is what we're ultimately saved for the glory of God, for God to show that he can redeem and save man in his corruption, in his sin, in his rebellion. He will show his salvation over our lives. But in order for that to be achieved, he has to protect and preserve. Because if he doesn't do that, we will all perish. And so we find, as we close now, through history, we see certain events and certain times where God preserves. I'm reminded again of Noah, the building of the ark. The ark was a refuge. It was for to preserve a remnant, because God was going to destroy the face of the earth. And indeed he did. And if he didn't save those 8 souls, we would not be here today. So it took an ark, Noah building that by faith, for those souls to be preserved and kept. There is God's protection and provision. Will not the same God who did that will do that also for FGA and all of us now who find ourselves in that spiritual ark? Because we are on the brink of judgment. We are on the brink of seeing globalism changing. The signs are there. The world is in complete confusion. The world is in absolute confusion about God and who he is, with all the different religions, all conflicting, arguing with one another. We are in utter confusion with moral issues, with rebellion. Your governments are in confusion. They now have to just propagate lies because that's the only way they can get votes. Why do we still put our trust, our desires, our future, our planning in all of that, that it's going to be destroyed. God is still working this separation in us so that we are wholly separated unto Him. Do you know from your experience that you are spiritually in that ark? If you are, remain in it. Don't try and attempt to get back out of the door. If God has placed us spiritually in there, let's remain in there and let God build this, because this is what's going to preserve, protect and keep us from the judgment that is falling upon the earth. Because it is coming, brothers and sisters. And it's speeding up. Momentum is speeding up. And we're going to see more and more a falling away. We're beginning to see signs in society, in government, in police, in law, everywhere. We're seeing insanity now. Things that are done and said are irrational, that you wouldn't have even seen 50 years ago. We are seeing fear, confusion, it's epidemic. Depression, bipolar, is epidemic. And they cannot see, they refuse to acknowledge that Jesus is the way, the truth and the life. He is the answer to man's need. Your need, my need. And He comes as the protector and the provider. So the question is that we've raised this morning, are you still trusting in God's protection and provision? Or are you still running to the arm of the flesh, thinking that it has all the answers and the provision? Because it hasn't, and it won't. Society is breaking up around the world. Let's make no bones about it. It's going from worse to bad, because we are on the brink of the final last judgments before the Lord Jesus returns. And yet man, Christendom, is so blind to this. We're like ostriches, just put our heads in the sand and it'll go away. But it doesn't go away. This is the time, brothers and sisters, to wake up and become those wise virgins and not those foolish virgins who are watching, who are seeing, whose eyes are totally fixed on the Lord Jesus Christ and His word only. Because He is the only one who can protect and provide and bring us through what is soon to fall on the earth. And as I say in closing, we are experiencing the love and mercy and grace of God in this final hour. But nobody wants to be left behind when He comes as a roaring lion to judge and to put down all the wicked, all the rebellion, and Satan himself. Nobody wants to be around in that time when the Lord has, unfortunately, to show that other side of Him. Why? Because He's so holy. His holiness demands it. So we have a chance. Why He's still showing His love and grace and mercy through Jesus Christ, to turn away and to follow Him. We have a chance, because one day that will not be. So much will change. This is why we've made much this morning about God's protection and His provision. because if he does not protect and provide, we will all perish. So where is God's provision? It's in the blood of the Lamb, and his name is Jesus. And all those who call upon him in faith will be saved. Heavenly Father, thank you this morning. Thank you for showing your love, mercy and grace to us. Oh Father, help us, empower us, Lord, to be able to turn away from the powers of darkness, to turn away from compromise and those things that try to pull us down as believers. Oh Father, empower us by your Spirit, Lord, that we can walk this narrow path that is set before us, Lord. Help us, Father, to yield to you and obey you and to do it your way. We're so strong-minded. We can be so rebellious. We so want to do things our way. And we make a mess of it, Lord. Or we only call upon you, Lord, when we've got it, we get in trouble. That's not what you've saved us for, Father. It is for a relationship, to walk 24/7 with you. Help us to do this, Lord. Help us, Father, to believe your word and not question it, but that we embrace and take all the promises of God, for they're yes and amen to us, as you have said. Help us, Father, when we start to doubt your word because we're listening more to the enemy. Lord, remind us that we are protected, we are preserved, we are kept, as we've looked at this morning. That nothing can touch us. The enemy just is a liar. He tries to deceive. Help us not to listen to those voices in our mind. For he can come and he can appeal to the logic. He can make it look so believable, logical. But that's not how you work. You're above that. We walk and think above that. Help us, Father, to walk through this life while you still remain, while you still delay, Father. Help us to walk through this life and not to believe the lie of this world, not to be brought down to its level, but to walk above it. Because we're seated with you in heavenly places, as your word says. And Lord, whatever it takes, help us above all to keep our eyes seeking Jesus, seeking the kingdom of God. And as you've said, all these things will be added. Help us not to be caught up with the anxieties and the fears that people are held by in this world, but to be free-minded and spirited by the power of your Spirit. For you said, if the Son shall set you free, then you are free indeed, which means that we're unfettered. You've released us. You've taken the ropes off us that held and bound us. But Lord, it's not a freedom to go and rebel and do our own thing. It's a freedom of walking in obedience. For when we obey you, that is true freedom, Lord. Help us to experience this, Father. This word that we've heard today, help us not just to be hearers, but doers as well. For this we ask in your grace and love and mercy, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.
You would have me in so disaster. Let him in constancy follow.